welcome to Active Architecture, Episode 7. Tonight we'll be discussing Season 1, Episode 7, titled Echoes. I'm Jen Geffinger.
Yay.
I'm Kevin Batchelder.
That's okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Excitement's good. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
And
go for
tonight
it,
we have stand in for Jay since he had a last minute commitment. So, Cindy, thank you for joining us.
Sorry, guys. No, I'm kidding. You're welcome.
And our special guest for tonight joining us all the way from the land down under, Bronze Thumb.
I am so excited to be here that I might throw up. That's a compliment.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
Oh, okay. Well, we got no way to go but up from there. Okay. Oh, goodness. All right. Well, yeah. But as Jen mentioned, Jay had got stuck at work, couldn't make it tonight, which is becoming like a theme of our last few podcasts. We have one of us getting stuck at work every time we try to record. But, you know, figured with Cindy having covered us, been involved last week, we'd let her jump in since she's like a pro at this. And Bronze Thumb's talked lots of Dollhouse in the past, too. So we got some regular pros here tonight.
Okay, Kev. No.
You know what they say, fake it till you make it.
That's my motto.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, well, we've got a fun episode to talk about this time around. We'll, as always, once we get near the end, we've got some great feedback from some of you folks on our Facebook group. We'll kind of touch on that. Got a few thoughts from Jay that we wanted to make sure that we talk about too, so we'll be sure to highlight those too. So while he may not be here in voice, he certainly, as always, is here in spirit tonight. So
always.
Yes. So Echoes, we've gotten now past the big, you know, man on the street game changer, if you will. We're kind of getting into the juicier parts of Dollhouse now, and we certainly had a lot going on in this one. I kind of like the fact we started off kind of refreshing ourselves again, getting a chance to see the whole Caroline Adele session from way, way back.
Yes.
Although, was I the only one who got the impression that, sort of to jump ahead a little bit, that this conversation was happening immediately after what we saw in the Caroline flashbacks?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I think one of the things that always kind of made me wonder about that a little bit, because Adele says something along the lines of, we've been playing this dance for 2 years.
Yeah, which I think it kind of ties in to what we're seeing later when she like jumps out the hospital room window. Or that's what we're left to believe. So,
atta girl.
Yes, they are. We certainly can understand Adele is ruthless when she decides and puts her mark on someone. I suspect she doesn't give up till she eventually gets them.
Oh, I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of Adele. As much as I adore her, she scares the crap out of me.
Scary lady with pretty accent.
I adore her immensely. Yes.
And we're going to get a chance to really see some of that later in this episode, aren't we?
Oh, my God. To see her completely opposite of what she normally is outstanding. I love funny episodes, and I was so tickled with this. And it's so – to watch people high is hilarious to begin with. But to watch somebody that's so, you know, prim and proper just lose it is
so
outstanding.
British.
You can't say hard Oz.
Yeah, there aren't many Dollhouse fans.
No, you have to admit it. I'm very British.
Yeah, yes. Let's hear your hard ah. Oh, wow, that did not sound good at all. Sorry, Bronze, but even still, I hear it anyway, you know.
Oh, yes, that and Topher's inappropriate starches. I mean, those are things that get referenced by every Dollhouse fan.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually made it a purpose now for any job I'm in to have a drawer of inappropriate starches. Yeah, I mean, it's
atta
necessary,
girl.
Right?
Yes. I have a whole store full of them.
I just need juice boxes now.
There you go. Yeah, right on.
Now, go ahead, Bronson. Yeah, now we all are, is what we're doing, is what I'm thinking. All right, circle back in this ADD cast to kind of talk about what actually happened in the beginning.
This is what I do.
But I do, too.
But it was kind of cool early on. I mean, kind of a freaky situation, obviously, with the whole student freaking out in the lab room, and pretty, grotesque in terms of him beating himself to death on the window.
Oh, that was horrible.
So, yeah, that was, pretty harsh opening kind of thing. But it was also nice. I thought, here we are 7 episodes in, and we see Echo back on, shall we say, a repeat type engagement, since she's got
what's favorite. His name?
Matt.
What is it? Matt, I think.
Matt, yes. Yay, Matt! Oh, yay! Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, squeeing. Lots of squeeing.
Yes, I mean, and I know some folks made some comments, Facebook group and in many other places, about it's a pretty funky outfit that Echo has on in this episode. Well, I think it's all part of, Matt's engagement. Yeah. I think he requested that one.
Yeah, a little bit.
Not that I can blame the guy. But I certainly wouldn't want to get left in the predicament he was left in when.
Which is amazing.
When Echo bailed on him.
Yeah, classic. That can be awkward.
Not that I've ever been there, of course, for all.
Just situations where you really want to be. You really want to be practiced with yoga so that you can just reach up and untie the knots with your toes.
That almost sounds like first-hand experience, Bronson.
That even sounds okay, like fun to me. I'm sorry.
goodness gracious. But we also rewatch. This is great, too, because we've got the Clive Ambrose introduction, if you will, too.
Yes, the creepy little man.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. Certainly first time through, didn't even realize what kind of a role he was going to play come much later on.
Exactly.
Was he ever played by the same actor for more than one episode?
That's a really good question.
No. Nate Dushku did him in season 2 at the end.
Victor did him at half point, two. Right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think we just saw him body.
And,
course,
and we met him in the attic, and we saw him in That's Whiskey.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, very true.
Yep.
Now, how much fun was it in that initial opening when he's giving the details to Adele and Topher gets called in and he can't control himself?
Oh, that's me. Yeah. I think I'm going to throw up. Yeah.
Yeah, this whole speech about what's so exciting about drugs and how they affect people. Yeah. Okay, Topher, time to put a sock in it.
The looks on Adele's face were priceless.
Oh, are priceless.
Yes, that is the subtlety that I love about her character, because yes, on a rewatch, you can watch her when you know what he's about to say and just really appreciate it.
If looks could kill, he'd be a doll. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. But no, it makes a lot of sense here in terms of them using the dolls in this whole scenario to try to narrow down what's going on, because obviously the effect of the drug and so forth at that point, they don't realize, or they think they have a controlled way to do this. So, not gonna work out that way, but nope. I gotta say, this is one of those ones where, okay, we've got another scenario or engagement where having the dolls makes some sense.
Uh-huh. And it terribly goes wrong.
I do have to say my favorite part about all of that is Victor pulling rank over... Uh-huh.
Topher. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
and not just pulling rank, but pulling rank as an NSA agent, which is this hilarious bit of foreshadowing. Of course Dominic's going to be pissed.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
But it was so perfect. It was so perfect. I loved how petty he got, too. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was some good stuff setting all that up. Of course, but not to be too picky, but even in the very beginning there with Ambrose talking about what's going on, with the powerful nature of this drug, he's just wheeling around that little vial of it. Like,
exactly.
I'm thinking, somebody drops that and you're in trouble.
I mean, like, oh, dude. Good waving it around.
Yeah, should have been one of those unbreakable cases with six levels of padding or something just in case. But
yeah,
overthink.
Three floors underground, too.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, I mean, things tie together well here, you know, sending the dolls in to try to figure out what's going on campus. Echo, having seen the whole, you know, the campus on the TV and kind of glitching and heading off to go over there. It's a nice way to bring them all together. But we're also getting out through this whole episode, interwoven is the whole quote-unquote Caroline backstory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole, you know, save the planet, you know, save the animals, all that kind of stuff, realizing what her original mission was, her original goal in terms of how she was going to be related to Rossum and everything around that, too. So I thought that was a pretty good backstory item,
well,
I must say.
Well, definitely. Oh, go ahead.
It was a good device.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. This is the down. Okay. Well, it was just the between the memory drug and the glitching and stuff like that, it was a really, really good way to get into that backstory. We got to see the how Carolyn basically wound up in the position to be on Adele's hit list, so to speak, plus mixed in with the flashbacks of people like, you know, Victor and Sierra and whatnot. What it really reinforced to me was that up to this point of the show, the first time I watched it, my biggest problem was Echo as a protagonist, because she really wasn't a character, or at least not yet. She wouldn't really become a character until season two, after the Omega thing that I'm totally blanking on what the phrase was, where they all get dumped into a head, but the composite, sorry. So I wasn't really sold on Echo as the protagonist per se, and I was finding all of the stuff going on back at the dollhouse more interesting than the engagements. But this episode sort of reinforced the fact that Echo is still a much better protagonist at this stage than Carolyn would have been, because as much as Carolyn is trying to fight the good fight and stuff like that, she just comes across as very naive and headstrong in the kind of silly bad way, and just really stumbles in way over her head and into something way more than she could possibly deal with, and I don't think her or her boyfriend or her friends would have made very good protagonists. And I'm glad that for the most part Carolyn was kind of kept in the background, kind of almost this sort of minor recurring character.
Agreed. And I think, yeah, getting to get a little bit more of her backstory and see, you know, who she is, it definitely, I think, sets up, you know, that activist nature that's going to come out with her, that need to protect and whatnot that we see in Echo, that we've seen in Echo so far and that we'll continue to see. But I mean, absolutely agreed. I don't think this, you know, it gets down towards the end of it where it almost, I, you know, Echo, I think, is a more likable protagonist than I think Carolyn ever would have been.
Yeah, I almost found myself to the point, like Echo herself, not wanting Caroline back. I like Echo better. Mm. Yeah.
It is, but it gives us, as you're saying, Ronson, quite a bit to understand where she's coming from, but also see some differences and realize that there's a lot more that we're going to get peeled back as we see Echo grow quite a bit because of the different events that are going to occur, too. So,
well, one of the revealing... go ahead.
No, you're right.
One of the more revealing moments was like when Echo said, you know, how can you not remember and remember something at the same time? You know, it was just like, it was this thread that just was so interwoven throughout this whole episode, just for her character, how she's remembering when she was, you know, wiped and all that kind of stuff, you know. That's got to be some crazy stuff pumping off in your head.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you sort of get a taste of what the attic will eventually be like.
Yes. Good point.
Yeah.
Outstanding point, actually, yes.
The brains suck, yeah.
Very true. Now, did anyone at this point now, a couple of years later, looking at, I just refer to my notes as Echo's friend, as that she goes on this whole mission with, recognize the actor?
Did we ever know his name?
It was mentioned, but I didn't bother.
I think it was
my
Sam
notes,
or something.
Wasn't it Sam? Sam. It was Sam. That's right. It just popped in my head. Yeah, it was Sam.
Eggs.
I just heard it before you called.
Okay, I'm.
Eggs. Yeah. Nice.
What?
That's right.
True Blood.
True Blood.
Yeah, Eggs. His name was
okay.
Eggs.
I don't watch that show, so yeah. I missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a face when I you know, rewatches at that point, was like, oh, I knew him from somewhere else. But now, I didn't have any idea early on, and this is what I think is a great part of the episode, and we've already touched on a little bit, but once the dolls start, I don't know if I'd say glitching, but being affected by the drug, the comedy nature of this episode is just, like we said, you know, you or at least I do, I have to wipe the tears from my eyes once we get
yes.
into the scenes with all of them doing
hilarious.
Their stuff. It's meaning, you know, it took a while for the fun aspect of the episode to kick in, but once it does, oh my goodness. I mean, for the whole series, like we said, the Adele Topher scenes are just absolutely priceless, and we watch them all. But even more than that is some of the Dominic stuff, too.
Oh, my God, yes. Soft like a kitty.
Three diamond gut beans.
Yes.
Oh, my God, I was in tears when he did that. He plays high perfectly. I've actually
that
seen people like that, you know.
Yes, he did. Yeah, absolutely. Between the kitty reference and the heavy gun.
And, oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah,
for
a guy who's such a nice hard ass up until now, it was just much like Adele. You know, we totally yes. see them just way, way off where we've seen before. I mean, it's just he's pretty amazing. And his whole attempt to apologize later on to Echo.
I'm so sorry I tried to kill you.
Yeah.
Sorry. As he's licking the dry mouth, you know.
And as Jay said, to make sure to say he just loves to it, that, you know, when she's trying to understand what he's talking about, she just basically goes, well, okay, water, bridge, under. Okay, let's go on, move on. It's just subtly, it's so brilliant.
That's why with this, Olivia and Reed were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, being the typecast of being such hard-nosed. But, I mean, that's what made this episode to me so much fun. And but it was like, it's just too bad that they could not play off of each other as well. We only got to see them after the fact, after they sobered up a little bit and it's back to normal, you know, like that where they couldn't
amazing.
Look each other in the eyes.
That was amazing.
No. Wasn't it?
Awkward scene is awkward.
Yes.
Oh, but utterly brilliant. Absolutely utterly brilliant. Oh, I mean, and in some of the subtle stuff too is played between the Adele and Topher stuff. I mean, we all know the lines, but the yes. one that might still get me the most though is with her on the trampoline and him
yes.
on the phone. Say hi for me.
Hi, me. Oh, we still use that when we're talking on Twitter with friends. I'm gonna go talk to so and say, and like Jen, just Jen's. Well, she'll do that, jumping up and down. Say hi for me, you know. And it's one of my favorite lines. And her climbing over the banister. Oh my God. Just her climbing over the banister is hilarious. That.
And there was also actually one thing in that scene. It was just kind of mixed in with all of the really, really funny lines. But Topher's complaining
yep.
about, oh my God, Secret Agent Victor is just so honestly, ooh, I have a story about
story
it.
About that. Yes.
I was just like, oh, five more seconds.
Miss Lonely Hearts, I know who that is. You know.
Yeah, you think the Dominic and her stuff was awkward. Imagine if Miss Lonely Hearts had come out at that point.
Hey.
Topher's salary would have been through the roof, or he would have been dead, one or the other.
Well, he runs that line all the time anyway, so.
Oh, yeah, we're going to hear that later on. But, oh, my God, that was just brilliant. And filter this in with the whole breakdown of Melly.
Yo.
And everything
Azelle's
going on.
Face, when she quotes the line, is priceless. Like, oh, fuck.
I just love when she's like, oh. God.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it is. The two of them are, you know, trying to decide who you look. No, you look. Me. No.
I'm superior in every way. You go.
Yes. Go. Just go check. That would be me. Jay, you go look.
Oh, it is. That stuff. Oh, that was pretty amazing. But on the bigger picture of what's been going on, though, obviously the brilliance of Topher starting to be able to figure out how the drug works in the brain and the difference of the dolls, you know, ties nicely to the whole Echo running through trying to find what's going on there and seeing the flashback. So, I mean, the story parts of it tie together pretty nicely there. It's good stuff. It's aside from the comedy gold there, rewatching this episode, especially fairly early in a rewatch, just cements a lot of those things, I think, really, really well.
I think watching Topher trying to orchestrate all of everybody, you know, like one of my favorite lines is, I have this huge feeling of machines that go bing. Well, every time, I mean, I just watched it a few minutes ago and got hysterical again because it just sounds something that the average person would say, think in their heads. My machines go bing. Yes, my brain actually does that. Yeah.
Now, one thing we haven't even touched on, I was actually not, fairly early in the episode, and again, on a bigger picture something, but it might be lost certainly in a first watch through here, is the Ballard and Melly scene early on when Ballard's still, you know, strongly in his dollhouse figure it out mode, and she's subtly trying to, you know, get the point across that he needs to drop it. I mean, is that the programming of the dollhouse, or is that the relationship side of Melly that's kicking in there? I'm never sure.
That's the programming because they've been wanting him to find a way to get rid of him off of the case, and when firing didn't work, you know, that they still kept Melly up to make sure to tie up any loose ends if he's trying to still do something on his own. So that's where I see that it being programming, that this was hurt Melly's job was to keep him away from the dollhouse subtly.
I go back and forth on that. I don't know if it was – I think at this point, I mean, Adele had said earlier, you know, he's like a dog with a bone. So I almost wonder if it wasn't more – not necessarily to keep him on the wrong track, but more so to kind of keep an eye on him. No, to keep tabs on him.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Maybe for doing employment. <You know? laughs>
Okay. Yeah, that's part of the fun part. I love when I can start to think about some of these things and what they meant and how they were worked in there too. Another thing early on that I see in my notes, since we, like I said, did a good job with the ADD cast here, kind of going in all directions. I love the subtlety of how after the meeting with Ambrose, Adele is talking about how much, you know, how she wanted or should have had his job.
It's a good look at sort of where Adele sits within the power structure of Rossum, because I don't think we knew very much about Rossum at all before this episode. I'm not sure if we'd heard the name before, but that's beside the point. It's just, yeah, we sort of see, you know, her boss actually shows up and she's got, you know, griping about it to other colleagues and sort of stuff like that. It's like you get more of a sense of Adele as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
And we also get a good sense of the fact that she is a true believer in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like she sees the value in what the dollhouse is doing and what Rossum is doing. And it's you see that conviction come out in the episodes where, you know, she's selling potential clients on their services. The unaired pilot, Echo is the one that comes to mind the most, where she's talking about how, like, she's selling the audience on the idea of, you know, science fiction prostitution. And this episode, you sort of just in a really, really throwaway, you see that like this isn't a lie for her. Like she genuinely believes in the good of what she's able to do with the dollhouse and the good of what Rossum is able to do with their gazillions of dollars and all of the advanced technology that the dollhouse uses and helps develop.
Well, not only that, she was, before she became who she was also in research herself. So, you know, that she believes in, like you said, in both sides, like that Rossum is really going, but she would have, it's hard to tell for me if she would have rather been doing what she was doing or doing what she is now.
Yeah.
That's good stuff there. Yeah, that's intriguing. It's a good point. I mean, it really goes to show the power, because as comes up near the, you know, the end of the story when you know, we realize it was the quote-unquote eggs slash Echo's friend, who I keep forgetting his name, who was quote, the bad – Sam, thank you. Mm-hmm. Who was, quote, the bad guy by being the one who was, you know, going to take the drug and sell it to, you know, Rossum's biggest competitor. But again, just the reality of seeing the glimpse into what Caroline discovered, the testing that Rossum was obviously doing, and just the existence of this drug and what it could do in the current timeline are two more big tent poles to make us realize just how bad Rossum is.
Sure.
One thing I always thought was interesting too, is we never saw anything come back up about that other drug company, the competitor. And I always thought that was going to be like a great storyline to explore. Yeah. And I mean, I can see why they never went back around to it, but when they mentioned it,
they
that Swedish one.
Bronson, you can go ahead.
Oh, no, it's fine.
I know. I always kind of wondered, you know, what kind of links that could, you know, we already know we have competing dollhouses, but what if there was a competing company trying to use the same technology or use it in a different way?
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, that's speaking about the dollhouses, kind of, you know, that's another thing that while it was wicked cool to learn that there were like 20 of them or something at the last episode. Yeah. Obviously, that would have been great to have been investigating a lot more than we eventually got in the whole series here. Not that the, you know, LA one wasn't fun, but.
It was more personable.
Yeah.
Or persona-able.
Yeah. So, but in typical dollhouse fashion, typical Rossum fashion, you know, even though Sam's the bad guy here, he still ends up getting recruited anyway by Adele.
That a girl.
I always kind of hoped we'd see him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like he'd mesh for anybody. No, I don't want him. No. Give me Victor.
Yeah, who's to say they didn't ship him off to the Dubai office or whatever, one of the other satellites.
Yeah, really.
But
I do need stock.
That's right. Especially when you're starting from scratch in a new office. But you know, this episode especially, but we see it in concept a lot, but the pitch that Adele is giving both to Caroline fairly early on, and also then again to Sam, that's got to be, I mean, if you, this is one of those ones where if I try to put myself in their position, hopefully it's not because I just committed a crime, but I mean, the financial benefit and the opportunity here has got to be enticing as all hell.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't mind sleeping for 5 years. I'll do it.
I can use a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's highlighted a bit back in Man on the Street by, you know, all the little interviews about it. But here, again, we're seeing some of the financial benefit of, you know, taking care of Sam's mother and Echo, you know, having been involved in getting her boyfriend killed and breaking and entering and everything. I mean, there's some really powerful stuff available here. And it's, I just mean it's another one of those moral discussions that will get people going on both sides of that. But it's got to be, as these folks often bring up, Adele makes sure to keep them with their pretty little green tea pot.
Yeah, I love
in
that
the room
thing.
Subtly, you know, realizing that this isn't a police interrogation. Yeah. You're not entitled to a lawyer.
And I drink tea.
Yeah, I will eventually mentally break you down.
I drink tea. I'm British. I'm evil.
There we go, yeah.
Good point.
Well, and it does lead into a... Oh, I'm sorry.
But if it's...
Lead into like a good thought and discussion, because I mean, you know, we're looking at the, in this particular episode, the Caroline and the Sam / eggs scenario where, you know, you've done something bad and, you know, you go away for a bit and then you come back and, you know, all your transgressions are wiped away and, you know, you have a life, cushy life for the rest of your life. But then you do start finding out about the other people, like, Sierra is, of course, the absolute worst case scenario. But then you've got, Melly and Victor both, November and Victor, I guess, if you want to keep in the same thought train there, that were, you know, getting away from pain and, you know, can wake up in 5 years healed, get rid of that time where you have to heal. You can just wake up healed. It does lead into a very interesting, what would you do, you know?
Yeah, but
exactly.
When we find out
always
later, there's always a cost, because it's just like you're still you might be done in 5 years, but you still go out with their architecture.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's that electronic leash that will always be there.
Yeah, you'll never be quite free of never be quite free of the dollhouse. That particular scene, and I mean recalling the one at the beginning of Ghost, it again reinforces Adele as the true believer and Olivia Williams as a fantastic actress, because again you can see how you know randoms off the street would be absolutely sold on this idea.
Yeah.
It's not just the facts of what it is, it's the way it's presented. It's not you go to sleep, we do stuff with your body, we give you money. It's a chance to escape your woes and when you're finished you'll have financial security and sort of you know stuff like that. It's all in this really really brilliant presentation it's part of what's so interesting about the series that it's a science fiction twist on human trafficking. I mean that's always what Ballard refers to it as you know, that is what it is. It's given this sort of shiny elitist image, and it's a science fiction sort of concept is the core of it. But yeah, that's exactly what it is. And the skill of the series is that you can see how people would be sucked into it. And it's a lot more complicated than it's a lot simpler than the way Adele presents it. But it's a lot more complicated than someone like Ballard imagines it.
Well, yeah, plus you have the doctor that's always, you know, watching out for them, also making sure that they are fine after each visit. But, you know, where it's like a really, 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 really high class, you know, brothel, you know, where they are protected and, you know, because that was one of the things I thought of. If they're all constantly going on and like, sexual engagement and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of crap going on out there that could be bad, you know. Look, you know, Sierra came back with an STD. Uh-oh, you know, or something like that. So it was wow, I just totally lost my train of thought. I hate ADD. I really do.
Well,
I'll leave it at that. Yeah.
No, but I mean, that's the initial hook. I mean, that's what gets a lot of people to just start talking about the concepts. You know, we got lots of cool, shiny, science fiction-y topics here. You know, the whole future apocalypse and things like that and shiny technology that makes a lot of this stuff happen. Yeah, that's kind of cool. But it still breaks down to seeing multiple characters, as you folks just said, from Ballard to Adele, kind of on two extremes. But then everybody else is in that. Everybody, just like all of us, which is where I think it hits home, is in their own kind of gray area here, from Topher just focusing on the coolness of the tech to everybody else is going to be involved to some degree here, looking at whether or not this is considered above board, moral. Have you crossed the line? You know, where is that line? As you were describing, Cindy, you know, is it a brothel? Some of the engagements mm-hmm. certainly are. Some of them, as we don't see very often, quote, on camera, but we hear about, are very helping humanity type thing with people doing things for charities and other things. So because Adele does truly believe in the good side of what's going on, whether that's just to calm her conscience or not, I don't know. But it is still all of us. You can certainly grab a couple of them and go, ooh, that one's bad. That's bad. But mm-hmm. then you can still step back and say it still comes back to as human beings. We mm-hmm. all, to some degree, do some of these things, maybe just not in quite the depth that the Dollhouse does.
Sure. Well, it's just like Boyd when Echo is interrogating him later in A Spy in the House of Love. And he goes, you know, is this like a brothel? And he goes, well, we do good, but we do bad things, but in a philanthropic way.
We're pimps and killers.
I don't know if I got the line just right. But... yeah. That line itself, it was just like, he just hit it with one little line.
Oh, it is. And this is something we'll be talking about in many, many episodes coming forward, too, is still the whole idea that on the grander scale, when given the chance, when mankind is given the chance for ultimate power, yep. they will always screw it up.
Yes, indeed.
No matter how
long. I like the way it says mankind. Yeah, you guys, mankind. Notice yeah. how it's never womankind, it's mankind. You all do it. No.
Yeah, but you'll find most of these guys who do go too crazy, it's usually to
woman.
Help
yeah.
impress a woman. Yeah, so, you know, it's
yep.
a balance.
Yep. Like I said in the last episode, yeah, it's war is all usually started because of a woman. We have the power.
So it is some fascinating stuff that does tie together quite well. So,
well, like with Topher always, for me at the beginning, was like a huge gamer with his tech and everything. It was like he was just playing this giant game. Let's see what I can do with this. Let's see how far I can go with that. And always trying to one-up himself. And giddy all the way through. It's like, look what I can do. Look what I can do. You know? You know? And all of a sudden you start seeing him with a little bit of morals dilemma and stuff, which is always cool. But still, I kind of like the gamer boy.
I think back to... I mean, that just kind of makes me think back to one of my favorite lines from the Jurassic Park movie, because I'm pretty sure the line's not in the book as well, but that Jeff Goldblum's line that about the idea that the scientists were so preoccupied about with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think whether or not they should.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very much a staple that can be used throughout the entire Dollhouse universe as they're talking about things exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Cool stuff. All right. Any other points before we take a look at some of our feedback?
No.
As we
go ahead. You go.
No, you're right.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Oh no, I was like trying to watch Boyd Be High. Was hilarious. That boy cannot do I whatsoever. You know, would you like a treatment? I love the way Echo just looked at him. Like, no. And just kept on walking, which is me. You know, I go, nah, bye. And, you know, and it was just like, dude, you could have done a little bit better than that. You should have smoked the joint before you did it and then did the line.
The only other comment that I wanted to make that I actually – made some notes, and one of them was that I thought that first scene of Ballard and Melly in Ballard's apartment, where it's just kind of following up on what happened at the end of last episode with Ballard being suspended and stuff like that, and he not on the case. And Melly is really the most insidious anti-Ballard weapon that the Dollhouse has tossed it in me yet, because it was between everything that happened in the last episode, even taking out of the equation the fact that she's a doll, she gives really, 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 really compelling good reasons why Paul should just back the hell off.
Exactly.
Like, it's not a threat from the dollhouse. It's not a warning. It's just like, lay low, and we'll get in touch later. Anything like that. It's like it's Melly really honestly saying, okay, I'm really, really scared now. Can we not do this? Because I really don't want to have to kill another rapist.
Or I don't want to die. Because she almost died.
That too.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of that too, at least in my mind, I see it that Adele really does not want to have to kill him. She is trying anything possible in their repertoire to get him to convince himself that it's a fool's errand and to just drop it. So she's getting more and more reasons to realize that, you know, we're either going to have to kill him or, as eventually happens, you know, bring him in.
But you know she would if she had to.
She probably would, but she really doesn't want to go to that degree, since Dominic's the one, you know, fairly early in the series who's kind of thinking that's something to look at doing, and she's really very much against it. So it's very interesting.
It's one of the threads of her character that keeps her sympathetic and not just like totally villainous, is that the fact that as much as she's willing to throw someone like her into the wolves, Ballard's a good guy. Like, he's an FBI agent. He's trying to stop a human trafficking ring. It's not the kind of person that you know, you could kill and feel okay about it.
If
that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the man's got morals. And yes, we don't want to squish that.
No, they don't. But I also love, when you look at the whole scope of the series, how much Ballard is totally and completely torn down. I mean, the entire guy's life is almost a sham. Everything that he was, you know, had going on, and all the people around him, and everything that eventually happens to him is just—it's just like a Greek tragedy. I mean, he eventually loses almost all of it.
Well, that and the fact that he's just constantly running to whoever will listen to him. Look, this is what's going, and everybody's just like, yeah, whatever, dude. You know, that it's, you know, where he's literally starting to pull his hair out. Somebody please listen to me. This is what's happening. And especially like when he starts realizing, committed to the fact that, am I losing my mind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, at one point, and that's when it starts to fall into, no, I'm not. This is really sucking.
Yeah. Well, I think part, you know, the thing that was interesting too, going back an episode talking about Man on the Street, his entire discussion with,
yes.
And I'm blanking on
Joel.
Patton Oswalt's character's name. The concept that he had him dead to rights as long as the doll he was with was not Echo.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so that is what, you know, totally screwed up what was to be. So, you know, it's just intriguing. It is. And that's why we're doing the podcast. We love going down these rabbit holes over and over and over again. So.
Yeah, totally popped his balloon.
Yeah, it is. It's really good stuff. All right, let's see. Anything else before I jump to some of the... We didn't have a lot of feedback, but before I want to try to get them back involved.
Nope.
Okay. All right, as we've mentioned in the past, we've got a Facebook group that we try to keep everybody apprised of when we're recording and such, and ask you for any thoughts if we want to bring them up on a podcast. If you're not a member and want to get involved, just do a search on Active Architecture, and you should be able to find us and join us or contact us on any of the other methods we'll mention at the end there. We'll get you in the group. But we just had a couple of replies. You folks have gotten a little quieter lately.
That's not allowed.
Yeah. So, but no, we did have a couple of replies when I put up a note about this particular episode. Chris chimed in, gave us some good thoughts. Some of the stuff that we talked about, we really loving the Adele and the Topher scenes. Quoting several of the lines, which big thumbs up there. Chris certainly agreed with you as well. And the fact, you know, the repeat engagement with Matt, kind of nice to see that subtlety coming back. And Also wanted to make sure that we did make a note of Eliza's awesome outfit. Thumbs up, Chris. Already brought it up. And also thanks, Olivia. Just put a quick note to say the same thing.
Someone had to.
That's right. Oh, yeah. It's a tough job, but I always make sure to do it. But Olivia also mentioned the Topher and Adele lines were great as well. So just some simple points there. But we do try to throw up a post before we're going to record. So if you have some thoughts, or as you know, this is a retrospective, folks. So if there's some episodes coming up and you have a thought or two, you don't have to wait for us to put them up. You can send them to us. We'll just make sure to throw them in for the episode that we once we get to those particular ones. But we do enjoy having some other discussions there in the group. So everyone's invited to get involved. As far as other options for folks too, we do have a Twitter account, which is at DollsActive, in case you want to tweet at us with something, and same way notify you when the episodes come out there and stuff coming up on the podcast. And kind of what's become the poor redheaded stepchild of the communication options, email. Very quiet, but we do have one at activearchitecture@gmail.com. Same idea. If you prefer email, do that. That's fine, too. As you all know, we're going to start to get into some really juicy episodes now going forward here. And we've got several of you, much like Bronze Thumb, lined up for some guest co-hosts that we'll try to work everybody in as much as we can and give everybody a shot, too. So hopefully
like
we'll...
Like maybe better.
Just to keep the conversations lively and get some good thoughts shared back and forth. So if you have sent us your request there, realize that we are getting in touch and just trying to balance everybody as much as we can. So I do have a document. And we are getting in touch as we go through them, and we'll try to catch you an episode or two before we're going to record. But we do the feedback and the support's been great. So please do keep
Kevin
it coming.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want. Go ahead. Sorry.
And the feedback if I blanked out and missed it, please forgive me. About some of the nice feedback we got from the Jay's Man on the Street tweet about the podcast release.
Ah, yes. Not only when Jay put that one out, Miracle Laurie was nice enough to send him a direct message and just check in.
Oh, cool.
Because I know they've communicated in the past, so it was very nice of her to say that she was glad to see the tweet and the podcast going. So that was very nice of her. And stay tuned on that one. We'll see if her busy schedule might allow her to maybe pop on and talk to us at some point in the future.
I thought it was cute the other night. I was doing a complete Dollhouse rewatch, and was quoting, and especially towards the end of Epitaph 2. When I tweeted the fact that, and right here when Adele hugs Echo, the tears start or whatever, and Eliza jumps on and said, Oh, my little Dollhouse buff. I thought that was so cute. and I go, did I use her at? And then sometimes I forget that she's following me. I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. No, it's neat that way. So that was a lot of fun to see, and I love seeing some of the tweets. Same way, I'll do some searches on Dollhouse, especially when we're getting ready to watch an episode or two, to see some of the thoughts that are flying around from a lot of you, which is very cool to see.
I like when I get some, because of using the hashtags, that I forget sometimes that people actually would just search the hashtag, and I would get replies from people. I'm like, do you follow me? You don't follow me. And then all of a sudden it would dawn on me that what they did was search the hashtag for Dollhouse. And it would make me giddy. And I'm like, hey, more people. So it's just so fun to see how many people still, love the show. But the only thing is, I am still mad at the fact that they blew up my boy. I'm not speaking to them for that. We do not blow up the hottie. I'm sorry. We just don't. That's just, okay. Kill him, fine, but don't blow him up.
Well, as we all know, when it comes to Whedon shows, nothing is off the table.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Sid.
Well, thank you.
that's a bit of a trend.
Yes.
Speaking of Whedon, I just have to throw in, since it is timely right now, if you haven't seen it, go watch Cabin in the Woods.
I've been trying to, but it was playing late, and being old... by the time I would get there, I would be like, past my bedtime, you know. So if I could just get him to bring it in like an hour or two earlier, like when I just get off of work, when I'm still primed with energy, then I'd be great. But I know if I would have had to wait a couple of hours before I go, I'd never get off the sofa. I'm like, I'll watch it later. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't get Cabin in the Woods down here for a while. But aww, on the plus side, I've
say,
already
but
seen
have
Avengers.
Avengers already. So.
Oh, you did. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's good. The scales do tip a little both ways for you, Bronzo.
There's no fear. No, yeah.
That is awesome.
It's so awesome.
And in our typical ADD fashion, we have devolved into a movie discussion podcast. So,
Joss movies.
That's right. That's right.
You should change it from AA to ADD, you know.
Oh, very appropriate.
Yes.
All right. Well, again, I do greatly appreciate Cindy pinch hitting at the last minute for Jay sitting in. Great job done there. And
anytime, honestly, anytime. If you need a fourth for bridge, just call me.
And Bronze Thumb too. Great to get you on for the first time. We hope we'll be able to maybe find another slot for you as well in the future.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I'd love to come back.
Oh, you was fun.
Thank you. So are you.
You. Thank you.
All right. And if the work scheduling gods will shine on us, hopefully we'll have Jay back for our next podcast coming up soon, too. But appreciate everybody. But I appreciate everybody listening and everybody's help here. So we will catch you all soon.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
And so they say, Lord, for everything a reason, for every ending a new beginning. Oh, so they say, baby, for everything a reason. And so they say, baby, for everything a reason. And those who love before will be brought back together. Yeah, those who love before will be brought back together. And so they say, baby, for everything a reason. And so they say, baby, you will be born back to me. I saw you leaving, I saw the light go. I saw you leaving, I saw you. So they say, Lord, for everything a reason. My house is haunted by rotten desire, and on my skin left the scent of indignation. And so they say, baby, for baby, you will be born. you.